Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Super Reef, and this is Real Talk for Real People Show. We always like to do our intensified studies from a bird's eye view of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And we like to take ownership for the things that we fall short of and try to improve upon them. Because we know therein lies our solutions, the cornerstone, the foundations to our relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Some people seem to think that this is a private club. You simply have to join the club. You don't have to do much, just mill around and don't improve your life. Don't help each other. Just mill around and act like you don't know what's going on. No, it's quite different than that. Once you've ascertained these studies, you must apply these studies and improve one's life and improve your relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Your relationship with one another, and your relationship with strangers, different nations. That's why we are into these intensified studies. Also, I have found out from a contemporary subject matter that a woman that was in the Capitol, I told you, I believe last week, she asked the judge to allow her to go on a trip to Mexico before the riot or insurrection took place. And the judge has allowed her to go on the four-day excursion. But be assured of the fact that you're in a land of captivity, because if it had been you or I, the outcome would be quite different. I've heard it said quite recently that Christianity in this country is being radicalized against us. My commentary to that, whether you know it or not, Christianity has always been radicalized against us. Some of us never cease to amaze me. Welcome again to the Real Talk for Real People show. Let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Shalom. Your mic is hot.
Oh, praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, brother Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you also.
Appreciate that. So Christianity is being radicalized against us, huh? That shows that we don't know our history, because European Christianity has dominated the world, and it's the core of universal white racist supremacy, in case you didn't know.
Exactly.
The Crusades, they went around the world destroying cultures, burning books, destroying cultures in the name of Christianity, which is why the Pope is so powerful today. So, yeah, it may be intensifying, but it's always been the enemy of the children of Israel. First of all, it's idolatry being perpetuated worldwide. And we have succumbed to it. And there's an evil element to it. And we can see it.
Exactly.
But just like the gatekeepers, the watchmen on the towers that let the family and the cities and the people know when the enemy is coming, we on the watchtowers are. We're trying to warn the people. And if you don't heed the warning, it's not on us. If we didn't warn you, then it would be on us to have this knowledge and not be able to dispense it to the people as a warning from the Most High, what his plan is and how we should be conducting ourselves in his creation. And you don't heed what he's saying, then that's not on us, then it's on you.
Exactly.
So you can sit around and listen to us talk and crack jokes and, you know, gossip about how we deliver the message, but the message is clear. We're going through the same book that you got right in your house or on your computer or on your phone. We haven't changed words. We're going through it chapter by chapter, which most of your teachers probably haven't done. And you probably haven't done. Most people haven't done themselves.
Exactly.
To do a diligent study of what Yah is requiring. It's a manual. Nobody's really studying the manual. Most, yeah. Like when you buy a car, right? You know the manual's in the car, but who's looking at the manual? Then when the car breaks down, then you go to the manual, but it's kind of late for you to be looking at the manual now. You're supposed to look at the manual from the beginning to know how to operate a new vehicle, right?
Exactly. Exactly, Cadrillo. Well, you're right, Country. If there's, like I said, Country, in my comments, if we're not doing the fundamentals, so to speak, and the foundation of our studies and our nation and our history, and finding out what mistakes in order to rectify those mistakes, whose fault is that on? Who does the onus lay? I mean, we know universal white race supremacy exists, but if we keep doing the same thing over and over, Katria, and we're not immersed in our fundamentals, well, what part are we playing in the madness? And just some people, just like I said, Katria, they want to join a club, but they don't want to abide by the rules. You want to join a club, but you don't. And they even man-made clubs got rules. You want to join a club.
Well, God's talking about ain't no club. What God's talking about is life and creation and how you're supposed to live in earth. So you could be in your club if you want to. Most of those clubs don't follow Yah.
Exactly. So
they marching towards progress, technology and science and, you know, modern conveniences that people have. But why is the world so violent? Why are people so short-tempered? Why are people in such anxiety? Why are people so stressed out? If we progressing like people's mindset believe they are, the more we progress, the more stressed it seems that the earth is. Or is it real progression?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Katri, my brother and friend and fellow students, if you're ready to get immersed in your studies, and as you should be, turn to Devarim, 13th chapter. Devarim.
D. A, B, C, D.
Yeah. Hey, look here. I'm down south. Devarim.
That's how you say it, dude?
Yeah. You know, just like
Rob.
Just like the end of the show, Katria. I don't know where y'all going, but y'all finna go read. You know what I'm saying?
That's something else, man. I know you need ABC and D, the letter D.
Yeah, you know how we do it, brother. Down south.
Okay.
D better M. Okay. Chapter 30. Thank you, Katria. They even offer up their sons and daughters and fire to their gods. These nations that I'm getting out the way from you. Be careful to observe only that. That's what we're talking about. That's what Katria and I are talking about. Be careful to observe only that which I enjoin upon you. Moses is speaking. Neither
I'm sorry, what chapter you bringing up?
Chapter 13.
13.
Right. And Moses is speaking. And he said, be careful to observe only that which I enjoin upon you. Neither add to it, nor take away from it. And the Katria and I were speaking about this very subject matter today. If there appears among you a prophet or a dream diviner, and he gives you a sign, a portent, saying, let us follow and worship another God. You hear me? You didn't hear what I just said? If you got a prophet or a dream diviner who gives you a sign, a portent. Let us follow and worship another God whom you had not experienced. You ain't even know nothing about it. Even if the signs are portent that he named to you comes true. Because it's going to happen like that with some false god. Some things going to come true. But he says, you don't even have an experience with this God. Somebody then gave it to you. Somebody then showed it to you. But what Yah is saying, do not heed the words of that prophet, of that dream diviner. Because you don't know nothing about that God. They're telling you that's that God. Your enemies have brought you a God.
Brother Yah, so?
Hold on. No. Abiyah, give me a check. Gatekeeper? give me a check. Therefore, keep this charge and restate this. Dear children, who did this person of wisdom to the last of God? His majesty, his mighty hand, our sweet son. Yeah, we read that. Uh-huh. Abby, give me a radio check. Yeah, we read that, Cadrill.
Okay, I'll be wrong.
Yeah, I'm waiting on Abby to give me an update. She said, I'm right, Cadrill.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Abby. Okay, and it says, do not heed the words of that prophet or dream diviner, for Yah, your Elohim, is testing you to see whether you really love Yah, your Elohim, with all your heart. He's testing you when these folk bring these different gods to you, gods you don't even know. Your people don't even know nothing about. Follow none, but, with emphasis, Yah, your Elohim, and revere none but him. But your enemies didn't tell you something else. But you're going to follow your enemies. but him. Observe his commandments alone. And he only his orders. Worship none but him. Hold fast to him. As for that prophet or dream diviner, he shall be put to death. For he urged disloyalty to Yah, your Elohim. Your loyalty should be to Yah, your Elohim, who freed you from the land of misery. Now they got another God that didn't free you from anything. Didn't free himself. by the looks of it. Who redeemed you from the house of bondage. To make you straight from the path that Yah, your Elohim, command you to follow. Thus you said, sweep out evil from your midst. And this is how serious this is to Yah. Why would he change this? If this is so serious to Yah then, why would he change this now? Let's see how serious it is. If your brother, your own mother's son, or your sons or daughters, or the wife of your bosom, or your closest friend entices you in secret, saying, come, let us worship other gods, whom neither you nor your fathers have experienced. You have no knowledge of them. From among the gods of the people around you. Yeah, your people around you got all kind of gods. Either near to you or distant. Either they're in your vicinity or they're distant away from you. Anywhere from the one end of the earth to the other. If they got gods around you, close by you, on one end of the earth to the other. They didn't free you from misery. Your founding fathers didn't have any knowledge of them. Somebody's lying. You read why you're hearing this silence. Because somebody's lying on Yah. And Moses said, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And the seriousness of the subject matter, if your brother, if your children, if the wife of your, if your close friend tell you, they said somebody just came here to free us, but your founding fathers didn't know nothing about that God. That God didn't free you from misery, from Pharaoh. Then somebody is lying to you, or you're lying to yourselves and one another. And not taking the subject matter serious. This is not no game, people. And that's called leading to your own understanding. And he said, whether those gods are from people, nations around you, or from the end of the earth to the other. You got to get the fundamentals right. You got to get your foundation right. If you don't have your fundamentals and foundation right, everything else is going to be wrong.
Well, there's a saying, Yom Suf, okay, that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
And certainly we are falling for anything, Cadre, by the looks of it.
We fall for everything, not just anything. We fall for everything.
Exactly.
Because we have no foundation. and we don't know our history and our roots. But
exactly.
Most High telling us to hold on to the roots and the history of you, the Most High's relationship with us, what he's done for us, and don't turn to the right or left to the other gods that people serve.
Exactly. And they say, and they say, come, let us worship other gods, whom neither you nor your father, your founding father, experienced. From among the gods of the people around you, either near you or distant, or anywhere on the end of the earth, to the other, do not assent or give heed to him or her. Show him no pity or compassion. Do not shield him, but if we were in the land, take his life. Because it's something serious. Let your hand be the first against him and put him to death. But we were in the land. And the hand of the rest of the people thereafter, stone him to death or her to death. For he sought to make you straight from Yah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mithraim. That is the God you should be worshiping.
Thank goodness you reiterated in the land.
Right.
A lot of our people will be at war with each other today. And a lot of our families would be gone if we were doing this law, this Torah right here. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Ain't nothing wrong with Christmas, Easter, Halloween, New Year's. Right. That's what our people tell us. Thanksgiving.
Well,
you bring that in the land.
you be rock steady, baby. Okay. And it tells you what God you should be worshiping. He tells you specifically, from Yah, your El, who brought you out of the land of misery. It is something about his son and no Holy Spirit out of the house of bondage. That's all Israel will hear and be afraid. And such evil things will not be done again in your midst. They'll stop it. You'll put a stop to it. If you were in the land, if you heard it said of one of the towns that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you to dwell in the land, that some scoundrels from among you have gone and subverted the inhabitants of that town, saying, come, let us worship other gods whom you have not experienced. You have no knowledge of them. You should investigate thoroughly, inquire and interrogate thoroughly. Get to the bottom of the matter. If it is true, the fact is established that an abhorrent thing was perpetrated in your midst, in your land. Put the inhabitants of that town to the sword and put its cattle to the sword. Doom it and all that is in it to destruction. Gather all the spores into the open square and burn the town and all of its spores and the Holocaust, that's where he got that word, to Yah, your Elohim. And it shall remain an everlasting, don't even build it up no more, but everlasting, never to be rebuilt, because this is something serious. Let nothing that has been doomed stick in your hands. You don't even want no parts of it. Residual effect. In order that Yah may turn from his blazing anger at them and show you compassion, because you're not a part of it. You don't even want part of it. You don't want a part of that bound, that booty. You don't want that cattle. You don't even want to touch it. And his compassion increase you as he promised your fathers, your founding father, on oath. For you will be heeding Yah, your Elohim, obeying all his commandments that I enjoin upon you this day. And when has that changed? Doing what is right in the sight of Yah, your Elohim. And somebody tell me, please, when has that changed?
Since we stopped obeying him.
Well, you answered my question, Cartrell. Cartrell, what is your commentary, my dear brother, on what we just studied?
Well, the fact that we had to take matters into our own hands, and if you find a city like that, the Most High could send two angels just like he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? To find out if the people is doing right or wrong, right? And he could destroy it himself, right? But the fact that he allows us to take matters into our own hands with our own people means we have to hold each other in check, that we're accountable to each other and to the Most High. So it's our responsibility to weed out the evil that's in our midst. And Believe me, we're far from this, because how many gods do our people serve? Can't even count them.
Right.
None of them is Yah, the God of our fathers. So this law cannot be exacted unless we had authority in our land, and we would want to keep our land clean. We want to keep our land holy because we are the servants of Yah. So in the service of Yah, we execute justice in our own land. But the Most High, he sent his angels because we didn't obey him and chased us out. King on down, false prophets and everyone else.
Exactly.
We have many, many false prophets, charismatic leaders that come along. I mean, the Nation of Islam got mad charismatic leaders that influence our people away from Yah. Not to talk about the church with the TD Jakes and the Creflo Dollars and the, who else? You know, you can name all of them that are leading our people astray to serve idols and false gods. These men would not survive in the land if the land was according to the ordinances and order that Yah gave us. So they're promoting lies. They're promoting idolatry. Nowhere close to leading our people back to the Most High's instructions on how we're supposed to be living in the earth.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead,
yeah.
Cadre.
You all right?
Yeah. Somebody's calling me, and I'll be telling folk what time it is, but I guess they think of be broken. They don't realize what's important to you. I guess it's all about what's important to them. And you tell them that you're your own people. I don't know what you think, brother. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, my brother.
So we hear a lot of people talk about their dreams and their clairvoyancy, and they label themselves prophets and prophetess. That's an area you should be careful with, because the Most High don't play with that. The Most High didn't speak to you directly and give you a mission like he gave to Moses and other prophets. That's an area you should not be playing with, right? Because people have many kind of dreams. Dr. Martin Luther King had a dream, and he led our people down back into the plantation house, into the trying to get us into the master's house, but the master ain't really want us in the house.
No. They didn't want us there in the first place. And really, truth be told, it really did improve our lot, because I heard a lot about businesses. We used to be
self-sufficient and independent, because we had to. We had to have our own.
But when we incorporated, when we did this integration thing, it knocked out a lot of ownership and entrepreneurs in our communities. We became totally reliant on everything. At once upon a time, what we ate, what we produced, was produced by us and our markets, much more healthier. But when we became dependent upon our enemies, they are in control of our food source. And when you're in control of someone's food source, you can play with it. You can alter it. You can add to it, take away from it. And thus, it does not help us. So as Cartrell said, I concur with him. The dream turned out to be a nightmare, truth be told. All due respect for Dr. King, I know he meant well, but, you know, a lot of things can be meant well, but even being meant well can get people killed, okay?
And they emphasized Dr. Martin Luther King in this particular month, which they call Black History Month. And I heard a quote that they say he said that he's afraid that he's led his people into a burning house. And how true is that?
Yeah, he had second thoughts about what he did.
Yep. And then he said, I have seen the mountaintop, and I may not get there with you, but we as a people gonna get there. That was a metaphor to let our people know that he know we Israelites. He
right.
Can't really speak out because he's a paid agent, which is why they had to take him out, because he probably broke a vow or covenant with them.
Right.
Because how do you kill a man of peace?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He followed the practice of Gandhi, nonviolent protest, which the Constitution allows, the First Amendment. That's what they fighting for. But he was all about that, wasn't he?
Exactly.
A political champion for the people, underprivileged, on peaceful marches, peaceful protests. He set the mark, but they killed him anyway. Right?
Exactly.
But the fact that these dreams that he had for our people were not the plan or the dreams that the Most High had for us as a nation. So
exactly.
He had to get taken out because he was young, like 34, 35. Imagine his influence with the poisonous message that he had, which is contrary to what Yah is saying. What kind of effect would it have had on our people even more?
Exactly.
So exactly. Our people woke up to shock treatment reality. Oh, these people are lethal. They're deadly. Even a man like Dr. Martin Luther King, they will kill.
Right.
I understand we killed Malcolm X because he was calling y'all pale-faced devils to your face. We understand why you took him out. But Dr. Martin Luther King, it's like, wow. If that wasn't a wake-up call at that time for our people, it really was.
Exactly.
It was not as shocking as when people get killed today, but when Dr. Martin Luther King got killed, I know you remember, it shook the whole nation.
It shook the nation. It was a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Rude awakening. The man didn't stand for violence. He didn't stand for an eye for an eye. But that being said, they still shot him in the head, the neck. And so what does that say? You know, and these are some of the very proponents of Christianity. These so-called Ku Klux Klanmen, you know, that's the reason why they burned their cross, to show that they have an affinity for Christianity. And that Christianity is violent, just like Katya alluded to. The Crusaders were violent men going into the Middle East and so on and so forth. And so this is not something new for us, these people.
We just been miseducated. Because the miseducation of the Negro, they say if you don't know your history, you're doomed to suffer it again. So it's no mistake. It's no coincidence that most of our people do not read all of the Old Testament in its entirety and try to get an understanding.
Uh-huh.
They start to do that now. People are starting to open the book now. I'll tell you that.
Exactly. Thank you, Katriel. Thank you, fellow students. If Katriel's done, we'll move right along to the next preceding chapter. Thank you, Katriel,
yes,
my brother. Okay. And the Most High, through Mose, is continuing instructing us on the do's and don'ts, the rules and the regulations, the codifications and the specifications. You are children of Yah. He's letting you know.
We what?
You are children of Yah.
Nah, we Negroes, man. We black. We colored. African American, man.
They can call it what they see it, but this is what Yah says we are. And I'm going to go with Yah.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, I'm a child of Yah. And you a child of Yah, Kaja. Abby, y'all's a child of Yah. And you fellow students, if you're part of us, you're children of Yah. If you're
so does it matter what anybody else calls you?
It doesn't matter what they call us. Here's what Yah says. Yah said, you're my children.
Mm-hmm.
So that matters to me.
You didn't just have one son?
I don't know nothing about that. He said all of us is children. I don't know about that one son thing. I don't subscribe to that. So
okay, that sounds like an exclusive club.
No, this is not an exclusive club. If you are us, you are children of Yah. Not no one. I don't know where they get that from. You know, you could make up anything you want to country. I don't mean it's true. Now, this like a truth now, you know. You can't hide the truth. The truth will set you free, as they say, if you really want to.
This is the fifth book of the Bible. We haven't even really gotten to all other, how many is it? 66 is the fifth book? And this
exactly.
is being said right here.
Right here. Right now. At first quarter, as we call it, they're playing football, first quarter. You should not, and I told you people about, I got a tattoo, and I got it when I was ignorant. Of that I was a child of Yah. I got one. But I don't intend to get any more because I have a responsibility. And he said, you shall not gash yourselves or shave the front of your heads like the Mizrahis, the so-called Egyptians were doing. The front of your head because of the dead. You know, they do that for the dead. For you are a people consecrated to Yah, your Elohim. Yah, your Elohim, chose you from among all the people on earth to be his treasured people. He valued.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
Well, I don't care nothing about that. Y'all didn't ask for a vote on the matter. Y'all didn't ask the nation to come up and take a vote on the matter. That's who he chose. And if it's good enough for y'all, it's good. Even if I, okay, let me give you an example. If I was a different nation and I was not the chosen nation of Yah, the only thing I could try to do is try to hold on to them, get tight with them. You know, that's what I would do. You know, that's the only thing you can do. Because, see, this is not a democracy. Yah didn't ask the other nation to take a vote on the matter. Because, matter of fact, he created everybody, other nations. So my suggestion to other nations, that you're not a treasured child of Yah, you better get closer to them folk that is. Try to hold on to them, okay? Because therein lies your solution, okay? Because therein lies our solution in Yah, I-L-O-M. Therein lies, I'm trying to help y'all too, other nations. Therein lies your solution, hanging on to them treasured people. That would be my advice to you, okay? Not trying to create some other gods to take, fill in the gaps. You should not eat anything abhorrent. These are the animals he gives us specifications that you may eat. The ox, I like me some oxtails. The sheep, I like me some sheep. The goat, I ain't had the opportunity to eat much goat, but I figure I like that too. Deer, I like me some deer. I ain't had me some deer. Gazelles, I chop them down till I got a chance. The roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, man, it sounds tasty. The mountain sheep, and any other animal that has true hooves. And what are true hooves? Which are cleft in two, cut in two, and bring up the cud. They chew their cuds, such you may eat. But the fallen, which do bring up the cud, they eat, that chews their cud.
That means they got two stomachs.
Right, two stomachs, have true hooves, which are cleft through. They have clefts too. You may not eat the camel, the rabbit, what's up, Doc? The diamond, for although they bring up the cud, they chew their cuds, and they have no true hooves, they are unclean for you. That's not good for you. And also the swine. I know a lot of you, Reverend Porkchop. And people like to
get away from it.
Yeah, and you people like to piggyback. Also the swine. For although the swine has true hooves, but it does not chew its cud. It's unclean for you. You should not eat the flesh or touch their carcasses. These you may eat of all that live in the water. Specification, codification, fundamentals. You may eat anything that has fins and scales. Quite simple. Anything that has fins, in conjunction, it has to have fins and scales. But you may not eat any. I know you lobster lovers. You clam dishes people. You clam dishes. You may not eat anything that has no fins or scales. It is unclean for you. I mean, if the Most High call you treasure, you don't think he's going to look out for your nutrition? You may eat any clean bird, but you may not eat the eagle, the vulture, and the black vulture, the kite, the falcon, a buzzard of any variety, every variety of ravens, the ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, the hawk of any variety, the little owl, the great owl, and the white owl, the pelicans, the bustard, the cormorant, the stork of any variety, the heron, the hoopie, and what got us started in the situation we're in today. So they said, from Wuhan, China. From Wuhan, and the Most High didn't lie, and I did it. From Wuhan, China. To bat. And that's why we're in the situation we're in now, aren't we? Think about it.
People eat every one of these species of animal.
They're eating on them. They're chopping them down. All we swarmy things are unclean for you. They may not be eaten. You may eat only winged creatures. You shall not eat anything that has died a natural death. It's old age. Give it to the stranger in your community. If they want to eat, give it to Mikey D. You may sell it to a foreigner. For you are a people consecrated to Yah, your Elohim. Man, this is so Pacific cultural. You should not bore a kid, a little goat, in his mother's milk. Don't do that. You should set aside every year a tenth part of the yield of your sowing that is bought from the land. You shall consume the tithes of your new grain and wine and oil and firstling of your herds and flocks in the presence of Yah, your Elohim, in the place where he chooses to establish his name, not what you choose in your backyard or down in the forest, so that you may learn to revere Yah, your Elohim, forever. You need to learn how to follow instructions, okay? Should the distance be too great for you, where you got all this stuff, should you be unable to transport them, because of the place where Yah, your Elohim, have chosen to establish his name, is far from you, because Yah, your Elohim, has blessed you, you may convert them into money. Now, you may convert the tenth of your wheat, or your grain, your cattle, or your kid, or your lambs, or your oil, into money. Wrap up the money. Take it with you to the place that Yah, your Elohim, has chosen. Spend the money on anything you want. Buy you some cattle, buy you some sheep, buy you some wine or any other intoxicant, or anything you may desire. And you may feast there in the presence of Yah, your Elohim. He want to see you happy and rejoice with you. A lot of folks think Yah don't want to see us happy. But it seems like to me he wants us to have a mighty good time in his presence.
And you know how we do when we...
Man, we have
now with the music and party.
Man, you have it going on.
You talk about the best thing is the best musicians in the nation coming to one place.
One place. Mm-hmm. Jump Soup, what's up, Country Hill? Yay!
And I don't think we would be the featured singers.
No. They probably they wouldn't let Soup break the note.
We can sing along.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear Country and him. Soup. No, Soup. Sit down, man. Sit down, Soup. Do not neglect the Levites in your community, for he has no hereditary portion as you have. He has no land allotment. Every third year, you shall bring out the full tithe of the yield of that year, but leave it within your settlements. Then the Levite, who has no hereditary portion as you have, the strangers, all these folk can eat of this. The Levite, the strangers, different nations, the fatherless, we took our own. We was talking about this weekend in the conversation. The widow and all your servants shall come and eat their fill so that they ain't got to worry about nothing. So that Yah, your Elohim, may bless you in all your enterprise you undertake. See, that's residual. If you do what's right, as we always say in our communities, right follow you. If you do what Yah said, right going to follow you. It's just that simple. We're doing everything that's wrong and wanted to be right. It's not going to work that way. Doing everything you're wrong and then following your own understanding. That's why Cartrell and I said to you, brothers and sisters, you must have your cornerstone, your fundamentals right in order for everything to be right. Now, that's a clear understanding of Yah. That's a clear understanding of your founding fathers. That's a clear understanding of how you interact with Yah. That's a clear understanding of how you interact with one another. That's a clear understanding of how you interact with strangers, different nations. There's a clear understanding of how you interact with the widow, the fatherless, the homeless, the poor. And there is specification and codification in order to interact with them. And looking out for their best interest. Every third year, the tenth of the tithe is left on your settlement, in your settlements for them to come and partake of. So they're not left out. We look out. We should be interwoven. I had this conversation, and Contreras was privy to it. We should be interwoven with one another. Although we are interdependent, we are autonomous. Even in our land and our tribe, we have an autonomous allotment. But even with that autonomous allotment, we are interwoven, interdependent. And so Yom Suf can't think he's just, oh, Yom Suf got plenty of cattle. He's got plenty of ox. He's got plenty of lambs. But Yom Suf is not only dependent on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Yom Suf is interdependent, interwoven into his hereditary house, his tribe, his settlement, his community. And that's what makes us strong. If we don't understand this, this is not about Yom Suf. It's not about you. It's about us. And if you can get that concept in your mind, you're going to be better off. If you want to be something special, well, I'll pray for you. Contreras, what's your commentary, my brother?
I would say that this is a very important insight into how we work as a nation, as you expounded. That we're interconnected. We look out for each other and take care of each other.
Exactly.
Contrasting how we supposed to live with how we're living in America, this is how this reads. But do not neglect the Negro staying with you because he has no share or inheritance like yours in America. And at the end of every 3 years, you are to take all the tenth of your produce from that year and store it in your town. That the Negro, African-American, because he has no share or inheritance like yours, along with the foreigner, the immigrant, or the orphans or the widow living in your town, will come, eat, and be satisfied so that Yah, your Elohim, will bless you in everything your hands produce.
Well, I tell you what.
God bless America.
Okay, I tell you what, Negro. You go into this. You go into that sundown town, and you go into that farm and see what happens. I'm tell you what, you Negro. I tell you what, you go in that sundown town and go in that farm and see what happens to you.
Nah, but all jokes aside, imagine if this country did that. Would it hurt them?
No, it wouldn't hurt because it's just a tenth of their, just like
a tenth.
Yeah,
just 1 cent? That ain't hurting y'all.
No, that ain't hurting nobody. That ain't hurting nobody, Contreras.
And it's only every 3 years. It's not every year.
They throw that away, Contreras. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So if this order was set up worldwide, you wouldn't have poor people, would you?
No.
Because everybody would be taken care of.
Exactly.
This is why our nation is a model for all nations. Because our nation looks after everybody, including foreigners and strangers in our land. Anybody living with us, we taking care of you. As long as you're following what Yah told us to do, right? So I think this is a model for whatever government you're living under to look out for your people. But it belongs to us. This is our model. Can we get it back? I think we're in a whole other mindset. You do you, I got mine, you get yours. That's not how it really works. Not with Yah.
Exactly.
And the fact that people eat camel, bats, pigs, horses. You know, they had a documentary. They were saying that Wendy's was selling people horse meat.
Right.
McDonald's was selling people kangaroo meat. And with these fast food places, you don't know what you eat.
That's why I said, when people have control of your food sources, you're at their mercy. And that's really not a good thing.
And y'all telling us to be particular about what we eat.
Exactly.
And as long as we're still looking people's food, you got them. And we don't control our own food. So we ask y'all for his mercy that he puts the control of our food back in our own hands so we could eat, you know, the clean foods. And you making a choice when you eat that lobster, them clams, the mussels, the shrimps, going to Red Lobster. You're making a choice.
Well, why are people surprised, Cottrell, with the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the cancer, the leukemia, and everything when you're eating all the wrong things? It shouldn't.
Not just the wrong things, but the filthiest things.
Yeah.
You're talking about the bottom feeders.
Right.
And they make it the most expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's psychology.
Isn't that ironic, Cottrell? I'm going to make it the most expensive. And you know how they are. They love it. They'll spend bukus of money on it. And we certainly do, Cottrell. Truth be told, we certainly do. I want me some lobster. Child, you know I love me some lobster.
And you got the rabbit hunters and the squirrel hunters and the possum hunters and the alligator hunters.
Yep.
People eat all that, man. Frog legs. And
they're delicatesses.
Delicatesses, yeah. Pay big bucks for it.
And you don't supposed to be eating it. And we pay top dollar for our own demise. Top dollar.
And they know our weaknesses. Yes.
Yeah. We like to pay top dollar. You know, Katya, I was thinking yesterday. And I did watch the game because as an ex-football player, I'm curious. I was curious. And I had told someone, these things are controlled, bro. I mean, the outcome is already predetermined with these football teams or basketball teams. It's already predetermined most. You can best suspect that it's predetermined.
You can see it with the officials.
Yeah, it's predetermined. And so... I had a friend of mine, and I said, who did you bet on? Well, I know he bets. He said, I bet on Casey, man. Casey, like he owned a stock, like he owns some stock in the team. I said, hey, partner, I don't mean to tell you this, bro, but I think you made a mistake. Okay? I think you made a big mistake. Can you go back and get your money? Oh, no. I said, okay. Because I know the enemy, in the spiritual concept, in the physical concept, he likes to be in control of everything. He likes to lead you in one direction and get you in the other direction. He likes to distract you, confuse you, dominate you. And they've been pretty good at it for 402 years. And we still hadn't caught on yet. We still think we're free. Everything is above board. When in reality, we're not free. And nothing is above board, especially when your enemies are in control of everything that has any connection to us. Truth be told, I mean, I don't care if it's vaccines, education. I don't care if it's law, labor, politics. I don't care if it's sex. Oh, yeah, they got plenty of sex. They'll tell you the sex you got going on ain't good enough for you. They'll tell you, oh, you still dating women? You still dating men if you're a woman? Come on, man, why don't you try something fancy? We got something exotic for you. Why don't you just get... three women and one guy. And won't you just try to get two women and two fellas? Matter of fact, we'll let you lead the parades. And my, Cottrell, we're certainly leading the parades now.
So,
yo.
Do you see the signs and the symbols? Because, you know, their contention is that a brother could never be a quarterback, number one.
Oh, yeah.
And that a brother could never be a coach. So you get what they call a GOAT, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. What team did he play for? He played for the Patriots, right?
Exactly.
Like symbol, the Patriots. Then he goes from the Patriots to the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Against who? The Kansas City who?
The Chiefs.
And who are the Chiefs? I'm talking about the chief Indians of this land. Because they don't call themselves chiefs.
Right.
Right.
No.
Chiefs, yeah, Indian chiefs, right?
Right.
So whether they pioneers or buccaneers, they're going to beat down Indian chiefs.
Right. Put the Indian chief down, the red man.
And you know, that's the temperature in America for them to be rebellious, because that's how America was built, on rebellion. So Tom Brady's not a Patriot, he's a Buccaneer.
Exactly.
He's a Pirate.
I'm going to take everything you got and did something.
All I don't know if you watch the halftime show. I don't know. Because usually it leans on the demonic. Satanic.
I couldn't figure out this guy. You know, I watched it out and I was sort of...
Mesmerized?
I was sort of like, what the hell?
I didn't even watch the game.
Yeah, I said, what are these Walking Dead Negroes with the zombies? I said, what is going on?
I'm gonna be honest. As soon as I seen the first couple of calls and penalties against the Chiefs,
right?
I already seen the fix. I'm like, oh, okay.
You knew the fix was
yeah.
I knew the fix was in Cotrell before they even threw the coin toss. I knew the fix was in.
I think the Chiefs front line that was protecting man got paid on the side of the table.
Bruh, come
they
on,
did
man.
Not protect that brother at all.
No, they didn't. I mean, but look here, bro. Look here. If I'm a lineman, I make $3 million a year, right? Some cat come to me with an additional $3 million. My boy gonna get hit. My boy gonna get hit. Come on, man.
And now that betting is legal, you know, they family and friends, yo. We can make a ton of money. We'll throw the game.
How you get me? It wasn't what was going on in the theater. It was behind the scenes. The betting was going on behind. Because Kansas City was up to win by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only did they, even if they had lost by 3 points, you'd have won. But they lost so far. Whoever bet on City, oh, so if you had a 3 point, it could have went 3 points anyway. You'd have won. You'd have won. But the point spread was so bad. If you'd have bet on Kansas City any kind of way, you lost. Okay.
And who you think most of our people bet on?
Kansas City, here I come. Kansas City, here I come. You know what it said, man. You know the fix was in, bro. Come on, man.
Big time, big time.
Big time.
As usual, as always. That's why I never bet, ever will, never have, ever. Not boxing, not baseball, not basketball, not the Super Bowl. No, not me.
You're a smart man, bro. A smart man. You're a smart brother. Well, Contra, if we're done with our commentaries on that chapter, we're waiting for another informative chapter in the Book of Psalms.
Praise up.
Praise up.
His word penetrates our people. Most High chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. But our fathers made a covenant with him that's everlasting, so we're obligated as well.
Exactly.
And my prayer, my hope is that Yah opens up our spiritual eye so that we can see beyond what we've been taught to understand that what Yah has for us is so amazing. Because the system we just read, taking care of Levites, meeting each other 3 times in a year, giving a tenth, everybody, no matter how rich or poor you are, everybody's taken care of. That's paradise.
Exactly.
We in Psalms 138, and this is a psalm of King David. And now and then we get tidbits from King David, which most of the psalms are patterned after. So the writers of the psalms pattern their writing after the king, except for Moses, because he was before King David. But we see how King David opens up himself spiritually to the Most High. So give thanks and praise for our King, King David, and his relationship with our Creator, Yah Almighty. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I give you thanks with all my heart. Not to idols, but to you, I sing praises. So what was the whole lesson today about?
About following Yah, following his instructions.
And not dealing with idols.
Exactly.
I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name, grace, for your mercy and truth. For you have made your word even greater than the whole of your reputation. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and strong. So where did King David get his strength and boldness from? Not from the people around him, but he gave thanks to the Most High. He gave his heart to the Most High. And the fact that he knew that Most High dwelt in the holy place, in his temple, that was his focus. Not to where people worship the other idols or other gods or other religions. His focus is where Yah dwelt, in his temple in Jerusalem. And he always called on the Most High, and the Most High always answered him. And he said he made him bold and strong. All the kings of the earth will thank you, Yah, when they hear the words you have spoken. They will sing about Yah's ways. See, that's what we're supposed to be singing about, right? That's what we're talking about. When we go to those places, rejoicing, and give our tents and see each other coming from different places, from different tribes, from different lands, enjoying each other and the Most High, eating and feasting and giving praise to the Most High for his mercy, for his love, for what he does for mankind. For though Yah is high, he cares for the lowly. And we see that. He's concerned about the fatherless, the widow, the poor, and the needy, the stranger. He ain't worried about the king, and the prophet, and the priest, and the captain, and the champion, and the rich man. His focus is on the poor and the needy, the fatherless, and the widow. And his focus is on those that don't receive justice from those that are in power. So Yah, although he's high, he does care for the lowly. Which is why you can be like our king. We can be like our king and offer up our prayer and cry out to Yah. And what will he do for us? Will he make us bold and strong as well? While the proud, he proceeds from afar. You kept me alive and surrounded. Slika, you kept me alive when surrounded by danger. You put out your hand when my enemies raged. You know that King David was always in danger. Not from, not just from the nations that were trying to defeat Israel, but also from the king, his king, King Saul, who was threatening his life as well. So he's worried about his own king and the surrounding kings. But the Most High was close to King David. Like you said, he kept him alive. When you're surrounded by danger, you put out your hand when my enemies raged. So this is the valley of the shadow of death that he talks about, where he had no fear because Yah was with him. With your right hand, you saved me. Yah will fulfill his purpose for me. Your mercy, Yah, continues forever. Abandon the works of your hands. Please, don't ever do that, because we, the nation of Israel, are the works of Yah's hands. And he's abandoned us for a little while. He's turned his back on us because we turned our backs on him. But we have to ask him to return to us as we return to him with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our might, just like King David. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Well, Cartrell, what is your closing commentary before we end the show tonight? Study so.
Just want to give thanks and praise to the Most High for my life, my health, my strength, for the life of my family, for the life of all Israel, that he protects with his guardian angels. Who he keeps a watchful eye over. He said he got us written on the palm of his hand. We just have to love Yah with all our heart, soul, and might and seek him out. And that's what we're doing. We pray that he enhances our work and the work of the elders that's trying to gather our people as a nation, that we can deliver this message to our people to wake up before it's too late. Some of us may not wake up before it's too late, but those that we can awaken, I pray that we can awaken those that will be awakened.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Cartrell, and thank you, fellow students, for tuning in to the Real Talk for Real People Studies show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view, an intensive study, and your relationship or how it all be with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. How it all be with one another, how it all be with different nations, strangers, and how you should follow the codifications and specifications Otherwise, it's not going to work for you. It's going to work on you. That being said, Cottrell and I, we don't know where y'all are going. But we do this, know this for a certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People study show. Come on back with us tomorrow. We'll be right back at our studies because we understand the fundamentals. Well, we try to understand them. We don't know everything, but we try to get our fundamentals together, our foundation, our cornerstone. After that, everything's going to be okay. Follow instructions, codifications, the specifications, and so on and so forth and whatnot. And it can't go wrong for you, but you're leaning to your own understanding and doing whatever you want to do, building a house the way you want to build it. It's going to be something, a hot mess. Well, we love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Thank you, Cottrell, my brother and friend. And thank you, fellow students, for traveling along with us in time to get an understanding. No, we don't know everything, but we try to study. And come on, keep coming back with us and study along with us. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And shalom. Good night.
son.